And so what I want to look at here in Matthew chapter 2, it is now 2 o'clock, and let's set a goal. I'm all for setting goals. Amen. My wife said 2:15. My goodness. 2:10. I have a 2:05. My goodness. I feel the love. 2 o'clock. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. But I want to just look at a few things today about the wise men that you and I can emulate as God's people, so we can, in a real sense, be a gift to the Lord and put a smile on His face and please Him. Let's notice there, we'll look at a few verses to begin with in Matthew chapter 2. Notice verses 1 and 2. It says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.'" Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the day you've given. We thank you for this time of afternoon service. We just pray for help to learn one more thing from your word this afternoon. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. What we find here, and again, as we heard this morning from Matthew chapter 1 about the birth of Christ, what we find here is a continuation, and we kind of tie this together with the birth of Christ, but this is a couple years later, and we see some events, and even at the time right there in Bethlehem of the birth of Christ, where we see how different people responded to Jesus. And the truth of the matter is that all the human race, all mankind respond to Jesus in one way or another, including each one of us here today. And what we see here, we won't take the time to look at all the verses because I only have like 10 more minutes, according to my wife. But we find that King Herod, first of all, let's mention him, that he was troubled by Jesus. Okay, he was troubled by Jesus, and we see that not only was he troubled, but it says all of Jerusalem was troubled by Jesus. And we find there in verse 4, it says, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." And so in a sense, at this point, Herod sought information about Jesus, was just trying to learn more about him. Now that in itself isn't a bad thing, but we'll find later that he didn't respond to Jesus very well. We've learned about the prophecies of Jesus, and so even though all this was taking place, it was something new, but certainly not something that they hadn't heard of before. And we won't take the time to look at all of the verses, but we do find that Herod's response to Christ was not a good one. And so this is one example we would, you know, that we would want to learn from, of not to be like. If we're going to present a gift to Jesus, present our lives to Jesus, we don't want to follow in the steps of Herod. And what we find in the Bible and what we find in life is that not everyone responds to Jesus as they should. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And so according to Jesus, there actually are few that find the way and seek the truth and follow Christ, and many that reject him. And truly that's unfortunate. We don't want that, but Jesus said this is the way it would be, and we know it's evident in our day as well. But I don't want to dwell on that this afternoon, but I want to look at the wise men here and see men in the ranks with the few. Isn't it good to be part of the few that stand for Christ, to be part of the remnant that stay true to the Lord and stay true to the Word of God? And so just a few things this afternoon to see what these wise men did that we should emulate. And again, we do learn in life. We learn from others. And we learn from others what to do. We learn from others what not to do. You know, guys, you've looked at some other, you know, some others said, "Well, that was kind of dumb. I know not to do that." Amen. And so, but we learn from the wise men today some things to do. And what we find in verses 1 and 2 is simply this, to be seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord. We see in verse 1 there of Matthew 2, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." And so why were they coming? They were seeking. They were seeking the Lord. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. call ye upon him while he is near. Pastor was saved when he was 17 years of age. It took me two more years after that. I was 19 when I was saved, but there was a time when I was seeking the Lord. And I trust that the same happened in your life at a time prior to salvation where you were seeking the Lord and seeking the truth and wanting to know the truth about heaven and the truth about God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so what we find here in the wise men is that they were genuinely seeking the Lord. It wasn't like a mother saying to one of the children, find the broom in the dustpan so you can clean up the kitchen. In a situation like that, we don't find a genuine search, do we? Or, I genuinely sought the dustpan and the broom. It's like, I don't find it, so I guess I'm out of the task. Does that happen in your home? It happens in our home. Amen. But I talk about genuinely seeking. It's like, you know, guys, you know, when you're working on your car and you drop that one screw or that one bolt, and it doesn't drop straight down, or it ricochets. And then it's, you know, over here. But we seek that thing. We're going to find that thing because we need it. And so if we lost a $5 bill, well, we would seek that. If we, you know, anymore, if you lose a quarter, man, we're going to find that thing. Amen. It's like, you know, in our vehicles, we have an Aldi's quarter, you know, for the shopping carts. You know, anybody else have an Aldi's quarter? It's like, man, don't lose the Aldi's quarter, okay? Don't spend the Aldi's quarter. What happens if we spend it? It's like, oh, you know, those are fighting words. And so you want to be careful about those things. But we're, you know, back on track. We're talking about genuinely seeking the Lord. And what we find here in the wise men is that genuinely seeking the Lord requires that we leave some things behind. In my Bible reading this morning, I came across blind Bartimaeus. Many of you have read that story, and he left some things behind when he came to Jesus Christ. And genuinely seeking the Lord requires that. We see that the wise men came from the east to Jerusalem. We don't know specifically what they left behind. We don't know the history of their families or whatnot, but we know that they did leave some things behind: their homes, their families, their occupations, their hobbies. They even put their own desires and plans and goals on hold for the purpose of seeking the Savior. And folks, you know, I'm like anybody else, and you know, we all have plans and goals, and we have some plans for this afternoon, and you know, hopefully it will involve our pillows, amen. Boy, you know, sometimes I feel like a slug. The highlight of my day is bedtime. It's like, oh, this feels so good. But what we find here is whatever their plans and whatever their desires and whatever they wanted to do, they set aside, because that was required for them to genuinely seek the Lord. And if you and I want to be a Christmas present to the Lord in that sense, boy, we should set some things behind, aside, so we can genuinely seek the Lord. Seeking requires sacrifice. East of Jerusalem were the countries of Arabia, Persia, and Mesopotamia. And so again, we don't know exactly where they came from, but we know that that their coming required a sacrifice. They weren't able to, you know, hop in their nice Ford automobiles. Amen? Yeah. Amen? Ford people? No Ford people. Dodge people? Nah. Amen. Well, regardless, they had to jump on their camels, and hopefully they didn't buy them from Jacob. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we know that they're coming. We get back on course here. They're coming required sacrifice. It required time, money, physical effort to make this trip. And it certainly is possible that they may have been traveling for 2 years, because they made this trip based upon seeing his star in the east. And we find in the story here in the Bible that Herod killed the children two and under based upon what time that star appeared. And so this wasn't just like running down the street to seek the Lord. And so just some things to learn from the wise men. First of all, to seek the Lord. Ways we seek the Lord: well, you sought the Lord today by being faithful in the house of God. You seek the Lord when you read your Bibles. If I set my Bible aside for the week, well, I haven't been very diligent at seeking the Lord. And so develop some habits in your life of the simple, basic things of Christianity: reading the Bible, prayer, church attendance, and Christian service. And those are the ways we genuinely seek the Lord. We find that seeking Jesus required them leaving some things behind. It required some sacrifice. And so number one, simply this afternoon, is let's emulate the wise men in our genuinely seeking of the Lord. Secondly, notice verse 2, it says, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. The second point is simply this: worship, genuine worship. They were seeking the Lord specifically so they could worship Jesus. Folks, true worship is humbling yourself and giving another supreme honor. I would like you to skip down to verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2 there, and it says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so they were giving supreme honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what true worship is. Worship is supreme recognition. Worship is an act of deference. It's not me, it's you, Lord. You increase, I must decrease. You get the attention, you get the honor, you get the glory. Just like everything we've experienced here today in our special day of services, but truth be known, every Lord's Day is a special day. That's why we call it the Lord's Day. It's his day. Amen. These are his services. We certainly benefit from them, but true worship is an act of deference where we set ourselves aside and we want him to receive all the honor and all the glory. You know, if we're able to do anything for the Lord, we should count it a privilege. If we're able to mop a floor, take out the trash, or anything in Christian service, we should count that a privilege to be able to do that for the Lord. Worship, true worship is supreme recognition for the Lord. Worship is from the heart. Worship is in spirit and in truth. Worship is in us and moves us to action as it did for the wise men. Worship is in spirit and in truth. It's not just lip service. It's not, okay, you know, Lord, I walk through the doors of the church, I'm ready for worship. Well, that doesn't mean we're ready for worship, because worship's from the heart. Worship's based upon the Word of God. John chapter 4 teaches us that about the true worshipers, how we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And so it's based upon the Word of God. The first command, simply this: thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. And so in genuine worship, God is first and foremost every day of our lives. And pleasing him becomes the desire of our heart, whether it's the Lord's Day or whether it's Monday or whether it's Christmas, or whether it's Easter, whatever time of the year it is, the Lord should be first and foremost in our lives. When we think about the wise men taking this journey, let's say it did take 2 years, and this is the time span, and here they are, they arrive in Jerusalem to worship Jesus. Well, I believe it began back here, when they were worshiping Jesus every day of their journey, because that was the sole desire of their hearts, to worship the Lord. That's genuine worship. Jesus was in their hearts, and Jesus was in their thoughts. And every day they wanted to get closer and closer to the Lord, and I hope that's your desire as well. They couldn't put the Savior out of their minds. It'd be a sad thing to want to, wouldn't it? And so we should always want the Savior in our minds. You see, folks, real worship has substance. Real worship makes sacrifices. Hebrews 11 teaches about faith, and faith has real substance. And these are the sort of things that we want to bring to the Lord. And so the wise men came seeking to truly worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this afternoon, and it's 2:15. So should I dismiss my wife or make her stay? She's the one that wanted out. Amen. 2:15. Moving right along. Third point, and then one more after that. Amen. Amen. The last part of verse 11 says, and when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It doesn't say they brought white elephant gifts. Amen. No, they brought the best. They brought gifts. They brought good gifts. The Bible calls them treasures. Certainly things that were highly esteemed among themselves, among men, things that had great cost, things that had great value, things that were certainly desired, things that were brought and presented to a king. Amen. And if our best is less than this world and our American culture dictates,
then that doesn't mean it's not pleasing to the Lord. It's pleasing to the Lord. You know, folks used to question me all the time, well, what should I wear to church? And I said, well, if your best is bib overalls, then wear your bib overalls to church. You know, if that's your best, wear your bib overalls. And I would often use that analogy. And so they brought gifts, but folks, I believe this, and I suppose God was more pleased in that they brought themselves to Jesus. They made the effort themselves. They didn't send a representative. Okay. How many have remote start on their vehicles? Amen. That's a blessing. I have a remote start, and you've heard me say this. His name's Levi. Amen. And so when it's cold outside, I send a representative to start the vehicle. Okay. He's for hire. Okay. I'm kidding. But I gladly sent him out to start the vehicle. Okay. Now all the rest of the teen guys were like, oh, now Dad's going to have me start the vehicles too. But we're glad to send a representative. But here, you know, back in our text, we find that they themselves went to worship Jesus. They themselves went. And I suppose the Lord was pleased with the gifts, but I think more so is that they brought themselves. They brought themselves, and they brought genuine worship. 2 Corinthians 8:5 says, and this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. And so, folks, the truth is that we can lay up treasures in heaven. He wants our best. Folks, he deserves our best. He gave his best. God gave his best for us. Amen. That's a blessing. But first and foremost, God wants your heart. Amen. God wants our hearts. And he knows what's in our hearts, what's in our thoughts. And folks, when we let him have his place and him have the preeminence, that we'll want him to have our hearts. We'll have open and tender hearts to him and to his leading in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, for you are bought with a price. You know, folks, we're not even our own. We don't even belong to ourselves. And, you know, when you got saved, it's like, God, here's my life. And most, I believe, that genuinely get saved receiving the Lord might even say this in a sense, it don't seem like it's much, Lord, but I give you myself. But he's pleased with that. Amen. He is pleased with you giving your life to the Lord. And so we find here that the wise men gave Jesus their best. Lastly, amen and amen. Lastly, the fourth point is, if we find in verse 12, Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, it says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. We find the wise men, one thing the wise men had that I believe was a real blessing to the Lord was simply this: they were teachable. Okay. You and I have all experienced American culture and the increase of knowledge, and men lift themselves up and have an alphabet soup after their name and think they've arrived. Well, you see, folks, these guys weren't wise men by accident. They may have been educated men, men of wealth, men of esteem, but they remained teachable. They remained sensitive to the things of God, the important things of life. And so I believe that's a gift we can bring to the Lord as well, be teachable. You know, regardless if, you know, we're considered wise or foolish or whatever station we are in life, that really doesn't matter. If we remain teachable and submissive to the Lord, that's a gift to God, and he's pleased with that. Proverbs teaches us a wise man will hear and increase in learning. Amen. There's a reason we have two ears and one mouth. May we be listeners. And so a wise man will hear and increase in learning. These wise men did that. And as a result, when it came to this time, this event, when they had a decision to make, they made the decision to obey God. Let's notice that again in verse 12. It says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Well, what did Herod tell them to do? Well, when they found Jesus, will you come back and let me know? Well, who are they going to obey? They had a choice to make. Well, they had chosen to obey God. You know, it pleases God, we obey him. And we can do that. You know, folks, we don't have to sin. We don't have to be a rebel. We don't have to do wrong. And so we find here that God had given them a warning, and without hesitation, they obeyed God and did not return to Herod. Now think about that, because humanly speaking, they would have the potential to think, well, you know, if we go back to Herod, you know, we might be able to become, you know, more financially stable. We might be able to, you know, become men of position. You know, we might have it made on this side of heaven, but that's what it would end if they were to do that. And we can't imagine the consequences if they would have would have disobeyed the Lord in that matter. But know this: the day still came when they stood before the Lord, and the Lord was pleased with their decision. Psalm 111:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." And that's exactly what the wise men did. They obeyed the commandments of God. The wise men knew it was better to obey God than men. And again, the day they stood before the Lord, I guarantee they were glad they obeyed. Folks, let's understand that just as much as the wise men lived their lives and made decisions that pleased the Lord, the day came when they stood before God, and the day will come when we'll stand before the Lord as well. And what will we have to present to him? What will our lives reflect in our relationship with the Lord? We find later on that the apostles, Peter, John, and others had this same philosophy in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29. It says, "And Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than men.'" And that's exactly what the wise men did. So they were wise. They were truly wise men. So let's determine to be like them as well, to learn from them. They had a fear of God. You know, their fear of God was greater than the fear of men, and it moved them to obedience. They were committed. They didn't bail out halfway on the trip, but they were faithful. And what we learned from them is they had a response to Jesus. But what about our response to Jesus in this season? What we find from our story here in our text is that Herod had a response. Okay, but it wasn't a good one. It wasn't a good one. We find that all Jerusalem had a response. They were troubled by Jesus, and so they didn't respond to Jesus as they should have. But we also find the wise men had a response. You know, it's good to look at the positive things. Amen. I'm not saying that we take the negative things and completely set them aside, but I'm afraid all too often we really zero on the negative things of life when we see how good God has been to us. And what we find here this afternoon is the wise men had a response, and I believe that their response is what God expects. Their response to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is what God is pleased with. And folks, we can please the Lord, and they did. What did they do? They did some simple things that aren't beyond our reach, but things that we can do. We can seek the Lord. Amen. You stuck around this afternoon, and we got just a few more minutes, but you've sought the Lord today. Let me encourage you to continue to do so, and do more so in the coming year. And as you know, as Pastor said, and you know, 2013, we all could say there were some unexpected things in 2013 in our lives. And we can be confident as we go into 2014 that there are going to be some unexpected things in our lives. But folks, right, here's the constant. Amen. Here's the stability. And if the Lord tarries, come next Christmas time, we can look at the same verses and we can see that, boy, God's the same. And God is true, and God's been good. And even though, you know, we may not have written the specific chapters of our lives the way they pan out in the last year or the coming year, that God has always been good to us, and how we ought to focus our attention upon him and please him and seek him, determined to seek him, determined to worship him. Amen. Not only on the Lord's Day, which is surely important, but every day of the week. Let him be first in your day. Spend time in Bible reading. Spend time in prayer. They brought gifts to Jesus. They gave their best to Jesus. And then lastly, they obeyed Jesus. Amen. These are all things that we truly can do. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the